anything coming out of Picard's mouth, I will take it.
Ooh.
Wow.
Like I've said all sorts of fun stuff tonight.
You know, we haven't talked about semen in a long time on our podcast. And the first thing that I thought of when he said stuff coming out of his mouth was like a zero gravity situation where he was like spitting semen back out of his mouth and it was just flying all over the place.
It's hot.
Yeah.
Riker, Picard, Randy, semen three-way.
You know, how did my semen get into this? Leave it out.
You're the one taking it out of his mouth.
Ooh, like snowballing.
Yeah. Yeesh. You're the one you wanted to take anything out of Picard's mouth.
I meant like pearls of wisdom.
Oh,
not...
God. Now he's backpedaling.
God. This coming out of the mouth of the guy who was just talking about how strong the word hate is.
Dark Knight Rises sucks.
He is not a mentally disabled person.
Are you nuts?
He's just Southern.
I agree with Justin.
Oh, God.
Uptown all the way.
That's Justin's kiss of death right there.
I like songs with instructions because it really helps me out.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'll be your host today, David. And before we get started, I just wanted to thank everyone for listening to our podcast and ask if you could just do us a favor and rate the podcast on your medium of choice. Doing that helps other people find our great podcast, and they can be as happy as you. Now onto the show. David here, like I said, here with Randy, Justin, and Amanda. How are you all doing today?
Great.
Fabulous.
Couldn't be better, thanks.
At least Randy brought the pain there. You guys were like, ah.
I said fabulous.
Fabulous. It was muted. I didn't buy the fabulousness.
No, well, that's too bad.
It is. It's unfortunate. Amanda, tell us what's going on in the world of TV today.
Well, this past weekend, the BBC posted a new trailer for the Doctor Who 50th anniversary special, and this time they actually gave us something worth watching, since the previous one was basically just, you know, a cycle through all of the previous Doctors. But this one actually included clips from the special and showed David Tennant and Matt Smith, like, together interacting, and that looked positively delightful, so I'm really excited for November 23rd. Woo.
Yay, yay.
Too bad me too. Too bad there's Daleks.
Wait, are the Daleks going to be in it?
Aren't they? In that trailer, I thought all I heard was exterminate.
I guess I wasn't paying close enough attention. I was just like, oh my god, David Tennant and Matt Smith together. Oh, and then also, Rose. Gross. Just wanted to throw that out there in case people aren't aware and haven't seen the trailer yet. You can check it out over at Geek Legacy, of course. And then last night was The Walking Dead. And I gave the episode an A+. It was full of pathos and zombie killing and just general badassery, and not one, but two field intubations, which were extremely cringeworthy. And if you thought it was bad the first time, it got really bad the second time. So yeah, amazing episode. And it also, at the very end, spoiler alert, skip forward 30 seconds if you're not caught up on Walking Dead. The episode also revealed at the very last second that the governor has been lurking outside the whole time. So, despite Justin and my prediction that he would not show up again until the end of the season, or until the mid-season finale, he is actually here, 5 episodes in. And it looks like next week we'll focus more on either what he's been doing in the past 6 months, or just what he's doing now, lurking around the prison. I suspect he's the one who directed that giant herd of walkers towards the prison fences.
That's not very nice. He's not going to get reelected acting like that.
I don't think he was elected in the first place.
Sort I didn't vote for him. Dictatorship.
So, no thoughts? Did anyone else watch it?
Yeah.
What did you guys think?
I didn't think it was as boring as most of the other episodes have been. A little bit of action.
Now that's some
faint
praise.
Okay, you know what? Here's my big problem with that episode. Mm-hmm. All right, so they've got those big wooden crates full of assault rifles and stuff out there.
Yeah.
Why in the hell did they wait until they broke through two layers of fences before they started just unloading with the machine guns on them? Why couldn't they do it on the other side of the fence before they broke through their shit?
Because they have no way of replenishing that supply, and if they run through it, then they're done. They got nothing.
Yeah. But now they still went through the supply, and they've got massive gaping holes in their defenses.
That's true.
But why waste the ammo when you could just kill them with a sharp object? Plus, I mean, it makes a lot of noise too, Randy. And they don't want to do that. They want to be quiet.
I understand that, and I thought about all these points, but it still comes down to they still fell back onto the guns, made all that noise. They wiped out two of them, or one and a half, because one was a fucking kid. They wiped out all the goddamn zombies. There were like 200 of them, and made a shit ton of noise. And, of course, at least at the end of that episode, where we see a whole day later, it didn't attract any other crazy hordes of zombies to the area. So, to me, it just seems like a plot device that they just waited so long to do that, where they could have just nipped it in the proverbial bud and just shot them all before they had all their fences torn down.
I feel like it kind of got away from them. Like, they thought that they were managing it, and then all the shit went down inside the prison, and all of a sudden they were just overwhelmed. Like, so I think
that,
maybe that's what happened. But
yeah.
But you're right. I mean, I'm sure that they wrote it on purpose that way, so that the walkers would be pouring in and nobody's there to defend him except for Rick and Carl.
It made it more dramatic, and it gave Carl a chance to use the gun quite proficiently, much to his father's dismay. But I don't know, it just seems like a big old waste. They had the gun, they had the ammo, they should have just done it to begin with. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that. Right. Next topic.
All right.
I'm the killer of conversations.
finally. So moving on. I kept watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Granted, my review was like 5 days late. But, you know, who's watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. anyway? But I'm here to tell you that you should actually watch last week's episode, because it was really good. It actually made me cry several times.
What was great about it?
You know why it was good? Because that Sky chick wasn't in it very much.
Yes, yes. Sky was barely in it. the focus was mostly on Fitz and Simmons. They're finally given a chance to show that they are two separate people, and the story revolved around this alien virus that
that's right, from the helmet, right, with the fireman. Okay, I did read your review. You said that I didn't, but I remember it. I did read it.
Okay,
and then the scientist chick got infected by it, and then they had to race to find a cure for her, right?
Yes right. And like the virus was killing people within like 2 days, and they didn't realize that she was infected until she had like a few hours left. So it was really tense, and it really stretched the acting chops of the two actors who play Fitz and Simmons. And I just found it to be, like, finally, it was what I was looking for in S.H.I.E.L.D., was, like, a character-driven show that made you care about these people and what they were doing and be invested in who they were as people. And to Randy's point, Sky was barely in it at all, which was a big plus for me.
Yeah.
Like, when they revealed a couple weeks ago that her whole driving thing is that she's trying to find her parents, I just rolled my eyes so hard at that. Like, I don't know why, but that just did not resonate with me at all. I did not give a crap that she was an orphan and she was trying to find out who her parents were. Like, they need to do some serious work on Skye. But the other characters, I felt like they all got to, they really were given a chance to be more than their caricatures. Even Ward, they finally made him less of a, you know, generic leading white male and more of a person in last week's episode. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to see whether this continues this week. Yay. That's it for me.
Well, let's hope that it does continue and keeps being good since it had such high hopes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Serenity. This next week, I was just going to say, well, next week's episode should be dealing with the aftermath of Thor. So that should be exciting.
We shall see.
Yeah.
To be continued. Yeah. I don't know what plot thread from the movie they're going to take forward, but I guess we can chat about that later with the movies. But
yeah,
I don't see it. So, Ray, did you do anything fun this weekend?
I did, in fact. You know, I spent a couple days over at BlizzCon, which was amazing. It was the first time that I've been, and I have wanted to go for years and years, ever since I first started playing World of Warcraft way back in 2006. And, yeah, it was, like, practically impossible to get tickets back in the day when we played it heavily. And luckily, we were able to go with Geek Legacy this time. We got some really cool interviews. We got to play pretty much any game we could have wanted to play without having to wait in the crazy multi-hour long lines that the attendees were waiting in down in the convention floor. They had a whole cool demo room set up for press. And we could have just sat up there for hours and hours playing World of Warcraft and Diablo and Heroes of the Storm and Hearthstone, the new digital trading card game that I blame personally for getting me sick over the weekend, because I spent probably a good hour playing it on one of the iPads that they had set up there, which was just covered in smudges from fingers and snot and spit and God knows what all over it. But I was just so excited to be playing the game because I was actually really enjoying it that I had my hands all over it. And then we were going and getting the free food and I wasn't washing my hands as much as I should have been. And now I'm sitting here sniffling, sneezing, and my throat feels like I'm going to vomit up a dragon. But other than that, I feel fantastic.
Yeah, it must have been Hearthstone that got you sick because that's the only one that I didn't play on the iPad because I didn't terribly enjoy it on the PC. So I bet that's what got you sick, since we touched all the other same stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and the only reason I even say it from the iPad is because I could physically see, because, you know, those nice smooth glass surfaces, you see every bit of schmutz on it. I could just see that a bunch of people had been touching it over the weekend, but I didn't care. I was just all over it. And now I'm paying the price.
You certainly are.
But that having been said, you were there with me. Why don't you tell some of the fine folks out there what you enjoyed about the con?
Well, I, like Randy and like Justin, are big World of Warcraft player. So I enjoyed, you know, getting to play the new expansion, Warlords of Draenor. And yeah, it was cool. We were one of the first people that got to play it. We got to run the first dungeon. It was interesting being the first people to play a boss because no one in our group had any idea what to do. And we just walked up to the boss and like just wrote like strat question mark. And everyone's like, I don't know. So
just nuke them, see what happens.
Yeah. And, yeah, did okay. Well, I think we wiped once and then beat the boss, but it was fun. I had a good time. Yeah, it was my first time too. And, you can check out all our interviews and write-ups and everything on geeklegacy.com. And, there's lots there. I think you will be happy with what you see.
Yeah, there were strict rules that we couldn't videotape any of the gameplay going on, so we weren't able to capture any of that for you guys. But, yeah, we did get a lot of cool stuff and some really fun interviews while we were there. You should definitely check out, if you're a WoW player, you should definitely check out the World of Warcraft interview that we did, because not only do they talk about future expansions, but they also talk about, like, their end game plan for how they're going to wrap up the World of Warcraft franchise, or how they're thinking it could possibly end up wrapping up. So that was really exciting. We didn't think we'd hear so much about the future there, but it was a really unique little glimpse into that, and you should definitely check it out.
Yeah.
There's one other thing I want to touch on BlizzCon, because the first day I was there, I was kind of jaded to the, because, you know, we've had numerous discussions about, like, entitled gamers and how sometimes they can just, like, ruin it for everybody. And I had run into a couple at on the floor that were kind of just, like, whining about stupid things. And so, but I had to go outside to do something. And when I was outside, there was, like, a little courtyard area. And I was out there for probably, like, 20 minutes. And in that 20 minutes, I probably saw, like, five groups or individuals that were like meeting their guildmates for like the first time, and like how excited they were, and they were all hugging and like exchanging gifts, and they were it definitely changed my opinion on gamers, because you know I kind of needed it, because I was real down on them at that point, and just seeing them come together was a real sweet thing. So if I took one thing from BlizzCon, it was that video games can do amazing things to bring people together. It's not all about shooting and killing and bad stuff.
Yeah, fucking noob.
Get off my soapbox now. Cool. Everybody see Thor this weekend?
Yar.
I did.
No. Well, what did Randy, Justin, everyone heard what I thought last week. What did you guys think of it? Randy first. Oh, no, Randy, man. Talk. Justin first.
I loved it. That was a lot of fun. I think it's funny how, regardless of whatever Thor is saying, I'm 100% interested in it. In fact, there's just something that he brings to that role that just makes me smile every time. He's excited, I'm excited, and I think that that's pretty cool. Loki is a trickster, as you say, Dave. And he was definitely fun to watch. He really brought it. I think everyone just brought their A-game to the whole movie. And it's incredible. I enjoyed the shit out of the first one, and I thought this one just destroyed the first one.
I concur. I actually like this one a whole lot more than the first one, and I thought Loki was a treat throughout this entire movie. There was something, I'm not going to spoil anything, but for those who have seen it, you know where I'm going with this. There was a point in time where I'm like, that cannot happen. That is not cool, but all was well in the end. And yeah, it was just pure cinema magic. And, of course, I could sit there and watch Natalie Portman in anything. So that was always a welcome bonus.
Right. I thought Chris Hemsworth as Thor was super funny. Like, even, like, just doing, like, mundane things. Like, he got in a car, and for some reason that was funny to me. And he got in a subway, and that was funny to me.
Yeah,
because he's all giant.
Where's Greenwich? So it's, like, two exits that way. Or when he, like, goes into, like, the apartment, like, hangs his hammer up on, like, the coat rack.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I would have thought that the coat rack would have completely just, like, fallen to the ground because of how heavy his hammer is.
It's magic, man. It's magic coat rack.
Yeah, it's only heavy when someone that's not Thor wants to pick it up. Yeah.
Okay. When it's just, like, hanging on a coat rack, it's cool. It's normal weight.
Cool. Yeah.
Now, one of the things that got me the most was the cameo, the fun Captain America cameo.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert in there. I'm not going to say the circumstances, but that was really well done, the way that was put in there. And it pretty much had everybody in the theater laughing and clapping. I was in a very clappy theater. Everybody was just like all sorts of excited to be there. And it wasn't even like opening day. It was like a Sunday morning.
What letter grade would you give it, Justin?
A.
Randy?
I would give it an A-.
Sweet. We all agree. Wow. Wonder triplet power associate. Now, Amanda, you have to go see it so you can hate it. We all four can.
I'm not going to hate it. I have developed an enduring love for Tom Hiddleston, so I am looking forward to seeing him in Thor.
He's pretty good.
It's pretty amazing that he has more fangirls associated with him than the actual star of the movie, you know?
Yeah, I was in a clappy
theater. I don't know what it is, but man, Loki.
Don't get me wrong, he does it for me too, so I can't say anything.
He's got this ineffable quality.
The hair is horrible though, that wig that he wears.
Oh yeah, that greasy hair is gross, but yeah, he's awesome.
Anybody else have anything to add on Thor?
Yeah, we reached out on Twitter for people to share their thoughts on Thor the Dark World. And at Geek Furious says, Zachary Levi was blonde. Woohoo, give me my mention. What a jack. And one of our good buddies over at Geeks and Gamers, at Giles Hay, tweeted, "I really enjoyed the movie, although for being the King of Asgard, Odin doesn't seem to make very good decisions." Boom. Stupid king. I think I'm going to have to agree with him.
Blinded by fury.
Yeah, he's kind of a jack.
A little bit. It's the eye patch. But just a couple more things in video game, or sorry, in movie news. Two quick little bits on Star Wars. Star Wars Episode 7 is officially going to be released on December 18th, 2015. It was rumored to be a December release for quite a while, and then a Disney leaked document showed it in May. So people assume that that previous statement was a lie, but now this statement has been confirmed by the great House of Mouse that Star Wars Episode 7 will most definitely come out December 18th, 2015. Some of the filmmakers have been kind of critical that they've been wanting to move the movie to 2016, but they've stated that Disney is insistent that it comes out in 2015 for whatever reason. So hopefully it doesn't get rushed and turn into something not good. But I don't think that'll happen. And the second bit of news was, do you want to be in Star Wars, Justin?
No.
You want to be in Star Wars. Mm-mm. Randy, you want to be in Star Wars, right?
Of course I do.
Well, lucky for you, you can go to one of 15 open calls to be in the new Star Wars movies. But if it's too far for you to travel to that city, you can record yourself and send it online. You can do online submissions to be in Star Wars Episode 7. So I want to know what you guys thought of that. How that would work out? What do you guys think?
Can you just be anybody, or do you got to have some kind of representation?
You can be anybody. You can be Edgy Armo, can send in a tape.
I hate to be the poor bastard that has to watch all these.
Are you kidding? I would love to be the poor bastard getting paid to sit on his ass watching people make fools of themselves in front of a camera.
Sounds fun until you're like 9 hours
in. It'd be amazing.
Man, it'd be amazing when you got the train wrecks.
Sitting there with a big old Mountain Dew in my hand and just, you know, sitting back on my comfy chair.
Playing God.
Just click.
Yeah, it'd be cool if you get to watch it, like, relaxing on, like, Jabba's little throne.
Exactly.
All these slaves kind of touching you. Yeah. That's a whole other experience.
That's how the auditions are. See, the audition on the trap door, and George Lucas is on Jabba's dais, and if it's no good, he, like, hits it, and they fall into the Rancor pit.
I can see that. Big old tub of popcorn and butter and everything.
He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
With the shirt off.
Definitely has to have the shirt off.
It's like tweaking his nipples and stuff.
It's like popcorn stuck on his chest hair and shit.
Every time he drops him, he's like, oh, next.
Yeah, I could see that.
So, yeah, so submit him to Star Wars. You can, be famous.
How do you do that, though? I mean, like, what's the procedure? Where can people go to read more about this?
You can go to StarWars.com or Disney.com, and both of them have links to where you can submit your applications. And by the time you listen to this, there should be something on Geek Legacy as well.
Oh. Pressure.
Yeah. Pressure. Time sensitive. Finally, in movies, box office was kind of interesting because last week's hit, the Ender's Game, fell significantly to the number 5 place, making only $10 million this week. So it's made a total of $44 million of its $110 million budget domestically. So it's not looking very good for those sequels of the Ender Game books, but that's okay because they were all pretty crappy.
Hmm. You're the worst. I hate you so much.
Do you like the other Ender's Game books?
I do. Even though Orson Scott Card is a crazy person.
He's a bit wacky. He's got a
bit
of...
the least.
But Thor the Dark World was the box office king this week. It made $85.5 million this weekend. So it's about what they were estimating it would make. They were estimating between 75 and 90. And it succeeded. And so, ironically, number 2 is still that jackass Bad Grandpa. That movie just won't go away. It's made $78 million.
Wow.
Has anyone here seen that?
No.
I will never see a Jackass movie.
Well, it's not a Jackass movie. It's just they're presenting it. It's like an actual story. It's Johnny Knoxville dressed up and taking some this kid across country. I mean,
yeah, you already sold me on not ever watching it ever. Oh, what was that? Johnny Knoxville? Yeah, not watching it.
I like Johnny Knoxville.
He was in The Ringer. He's great.
Yeah. And he was in that other movie with Arnold, The Last Stand. I think I'm the only one that saw that.
I'm trying to remember him.
He was the one with all the weapons.
Oh, okay. I'm retired. I was going into Days. I was like, Last Stand.
Yeah, it's a different movie.
Yeah. The new movie. Or the newer movie. Yeah, cool. Well, that's all I got in movies. So, Justin, we had a little fun experiment last week. You want to fill everybody in on how that went?
Yeah, so we had our first Nerd Off challenge, and it was a bit of a doozy. It was a no-holds-barred sweater match between Freddy Krueger and Cliff Huxtable from The Cosby Show. I think you two both argued it pretty solidly. I had to turn to our expert panel of judges, which consisted of Amanda, Tyler, and Jess, all editors that were not involved with last week's Nerd Off. And it turns out they have declared a winner. It is a 2-1 in favor of David's argument for Cliff Huxtable.
Yeah!
Wow.
Although, in Randy's defense, I think a lot of it had to do with just wanting the good guy to win, and plus David pulled the race card, so then everyone feels obligated to kind of go that route.
I'm not above it. I'll take it. Take the W.
Yeah. Good show.
Plus, like I said, though, I feel that David articulated it better, but it was just, I felt a losing battle for him, and it was just so silly to even think that outcome could be possible. But that's okay.
You didn't
I'm not
seriously, Randy. That's why you lost.
Apparently.
Weird.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. We're gonna be doing that. I would say about twice a month is gonna be our format. We are gonna mix it up a little bit. We'll go ahead and make the. Make it a little bit more challenging to where you have only 60 seconds to answer and only 30 seconds to counter. So that'll move things along pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And we did get a lot of fan participation with this. And ultimately, we did a little raffle. And one of our Twitter followers, Chris Hogan, at Unlikely Nerd, has won the Pacific Rim combo pack, which features the Blu-ray, the DVD, and ultraviolet copy, courtesy of Legendary Pictures. So,
yay! Congrats!
Thanks for playing.
Exactly, and we will mail that out to you immediately.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Justin, for your excellent moderating and putting together such a fun bout. I enjoyed trouncing Randy as much as it sounded like I enjoyed it.
Quite welcome. I had fun. Now we have to decide who's going to do the next one.
So Randy,
moving right along.
Randy, here we got a list.
We do. I found a fun one for you guys this week. It's a little bit on the disturbing side, so be prepared for the macabre. 10 Disney movies with horrific origins. I'm going to get this damn thing back on track if I have to wrestle it in
We've
oil.
We've been on track all night. We've been on point.
You've been on something. It rhymes with track. All right, folks. Here we go. The 10 Disney movies with horrific origins. Number
rhymes, 10. Wait, what rhymes with track?
Crack.
Oh, back. Sack.
Mac. Jack.
Snack. Pack. Snack pack.
Pack.
Oh, Jack. Shit. Gack. That's so stupid.
I could sit on a tack. Ooh. It would hurt, though.
Anyway.
I could ride a yak. Sorry.
Are you done?
Yes.
Cliff Huxtable over there. Heathcliff Huxtable. All right.
Back.
That's a little treat for anybody who listened to our Nerd Off. Okay. Number 10, Pinocchio. Now, in the original, Pinocchio kills Jiminy Cricket, who didn't even have a name. And the Blue Fairy is a walking, talking corpse, and Pinocchio ends up dying in the end.
Now, these aren't the Disney iterations.
These aren't the Disney iterations. These are the original versions of these tales that Disney which took and then made family friendly.
What?
So, yeah. In the very first version of Pinocchio, the marionette is punished by death for being such a naughty boy. Pinocchio teases Geppetto mercilessly and then runs away. Geppetto chases after him, but is caught by a police officer who throws the old man in prison, believing he's abusing the puppet. Now, you can take that any way you want to, but I think we all know how that is looking. You know, kind of like before the days of real dolls, they needed to do something to get their frustrations out. So when Pinocchio returns to Geppetto's house, he finds a 100-year-old cricket who tells him that naughty boys turn into donkeys. Pinocchio's response to that was to throw a hammer at the cricket, thus killing it. Then Pinocchio ends up getting turned into firewood, more or less.
Good riddance. That kid's a little liar.
That's a little different tale.
Yeah.
That's like a completely different story.
It's completely different, and it makes you really wonder, how in the world did... You know, who at Disney decided, you know what, this god-awful, horrific tale would make an excellent children's story. Let's just dumb it down.
They took some serious liberties with that.
They did. But you know what? It's a perennial favorite now. So
how old is the original story again?
It doesn't say.
1883. Oh.
There you go.
By Carlo Collodi.
Someone's doing some wicked.
No fromaggio. No cheese, Pinocchio. That's all I got.
Disney version has extra cheese.
Yeah.
Number 9, dismemberment in Aladdin. So, what you don't hear about in the direct-to-video sequel to Aladdin is how his father dies. He spends too much time in vault trying to gather too much gold, and he cannot get out. He's found in there, tried as a thief, and he is dismembered.
They don't just cut off his hand?
No, well, they cut
father,
off
his everything. His drawn and quartered?
Yeah, pretty much. Kasim is the name of his father.
Yeah, that's awesome. Definitely not what happened in the Disney version. In the Disney version, his father is still alive. Right?
I don't remember. I never saw the sequels.
It was the third one.
I saw the second one. It had Homer Simpson.
Yeah. Voice of the genie. Yeah.
And the third one was exciting because Robin Williams came back, but then it wasn't very good.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't remember it at all.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
Except that his father came back. Like, his father's the King of Thieves or Prince of Thieves or something like that.
Yeah. In an interesting postscript to that story, there's this slave girl with magical powers that sews the body parts back together to try to get the discovery. They try to get the location of Alibaba's fortune from Kasim. It's like, tell us where the gold is, and we'll kill you again, put you out of your misery.
Yeah.
Number 8, Cinderella. She is one murderous bitch. So apparently, in the Grimm version of Cinderella, not only is it far more bloody with the stepsisters, who one of them cuts off her large toe to try to fit into the stocking, and the other one cuts the heel off of her foot to not fit into the stocking, to fit into the shoe. The other one cuts the heel off of her foot to try to fit in the shoe. And it is only discovered when blood seeps through the stockings that they're wearing, and they're punished by having birds peck out their eyes. So, and then Cinderella goes on to murder her stepmother.
So pretty much the same as the Disney version.
Yeah. It's slightly not so innocent, though. And here's a fun one. Number 7, Sleeping Beauty. So apparently...
It was Sleeping Around Beauty in the original.
In the Grimm version of the fairy tale... a wise woman curses the baby princess, blah, blah, blah. She dies. But instead of being put in this beautiful glass case, no, she is put amongst hundreds of other rotting corpses.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The prince just weeds through, like, the corpses looking for someone that looks fresh and finds her?
Yeah, like, how does he
pretty much
a pile of corpses?
On the 100th year, a prince rides by, and the briar patch thing that she's put into, that turns into flowers, and he somehow sees her corpse there, who apparently doesn't age very much or rot very much, I guess I should say, over 100 years.
Corpse.
And it's pretty foul from the looks of it here. It's just terrible.
Worked out pretty good for him, you know. Maybe that's
unless he was a necrophiliac.
He's all pissed. She came back to life. Oh, man, ew, you're alive.
Man, I just lost wood. Number 6.
I gotta kill you.
Little Mermaid. So, in the original Hans Christian Andersen version, Definitely not the Disney version. The Little Mermaid's tongue is cut out, and she is forced to live in horrific pain with her feet perpetually bleeding endlessly. And the prince goes on to marry another woman anyway, so the Little Mermaid is forced to make this choice. She can either kill the prince and have a chance to return to being a Little Mermaid, or she can throw herself into the ocean to die. Unable to kill the prince, she commits suicide. Definitely not in the Disney version. So number five, Snow White. So we all know that the original tale of Snow White's pretty gruesome, and I mean even certain gruesome aspects of it live on in the Disney version. For example, when the huntsman is sent after her to bring back her heart, or in the original version it was her liver and her intestines, which I don't think is the same as the Disney version. I think that was the heart. But yeah. Anyway. Did you know that the queen, upon receiving these organs, the very first thing she does is eat them? So, ew, that's pretty terrible to begin with right there. And then there are three separate times when the queen tries to kill Snow White. First, she pulls Snow White's corset so tight that she passes out, which is kind of random. Second, she brushes Snow White's hair with a poisoned comb that works. It apparently kills her until the comb falls out of her hair, in which she revives after that. And then the third time, the queen poisons an apple, which Snow White eats and apparently dies. And that's kind of the version that we end up seeing. So in this one, the dwarves place her in a glass coffin. And again, it's one of those things. Your prince rides by, sees a freshly dead corpse, and decides, hey, I want some of that. So he goes, he inspects the body, kind of jostles it around a little bit. And I'm not going to say how he does that. You know, who am I to judge? But a piece of apple falls out of her mouth, which had been apparently lodged in her throat. And as soon as that comes out, boom, she's resuscitated and she's alive again. But let me tell you, the Brothers Grimm, they have a thing about necrophilia. And it's really freaking disturbing, especially considering how many Disney movies were made from this. But that may be a story for another time altogether. Number four, we're moving on to Hercules. So apparently, well, we all know how Hercules was born, how he was created. He's kind of a half god from Zeus.
A demigod,
exactly. Well, the whole reason that happens is because Zeus sees this human chick down on Earth. He says, hey, she's really hot. I'm going to transform myself into a dude that looks like her husband, and I'm going to bang her, i.e., reading between the lines, I'm going to rape this chick. And he ends up impregnating her, and she gets impregnated the same evening by her actual true husband. So two babies grow inside of her, different fathers, which is, by the way, physically possible. And one of them comes out being Zeus's son, Hercules, the name meaning glory of Hera, which was pretty much given kind of as an ironic name, since Hera was not the actual mother. But anyway, I'm reading through this here, getting to the good stuff. He ends up killing himself, self-immolation. He burns himself alive. You don't see that in the Disney movie. Yeah.
I remember that from my Greek and Roman literature.
The venom of the Hydra begins to burn Hercules' skin. He tears off his shirt, but the skin rips off as well, exposing his bones. To end his excruciating agony, Hercules builds a funeral pyre and throws himself in it.
Hercules.
Instead of dying, the immortal part of his body is left after the human flesh burns away. And Hercules returns to Olympus as an immortal.
I like it.
Yeah. So that's the original tale. Whether or not that's actually out of Greek mythology or just the original tale of Hercules, you know, just like a fairy tale version of it, not a mythical, somebody actually believed it as a religion kind of story. But interesting nonetheless. Do you guys remember the old Disney movie, The Fox and the Hound?
Of course.
Todd and Copper. That's number three on the list. Apparently, they all die miserable deaths.
Ooh.
Yeah, the dog runs itself to death trying to catch the fox. The fox breeds with a bunch of different mates, and they all get killed by the master, by the master, the man. And then the fox ends up dying, too. Wow. So yeah, but it's a lot sadder and a lot longer and more drawn out in the non-Disney version. I'm going to spare you that because that's a movie that people don't really know much about these days. But going to something that's a little bit more our speed, Hunchback of Notre Dame. You guys are familiar with that.
Bad.
We've talked about
that
it before.
Really bad.
And the Disney movie is pretty bad because Frollo, the priest guy, is all lusting after the gypsy, and it's just pretty naughty in terms of Disney standards. And well, the original fairy tale is far, far worse. So, in the original version, Frollo doesn't attempt to kill the baby at the beginning. In fact, he actually saves it from a group of four women who are trying to burn it, thinking it's a demon. Frollo brings up the baby as it's more or less as its own. But anyway, Frollo is eventually driven mad with lust to dominate a beautiful 15-year-old gypsy girl, which they also don't cover in the Disney movie, and goes so far as to make Quasimodo kidnap her. Quasimodo is caught in the act and is arrested. The soldier that arrests him is Phoebus, the guy who ends up being the love interest of Esmeralda, the gypsy. To make a long story short, Phoebus bangs the hell out of Esmeralda. Esmeralda gets hung. Frollo is off to the side laughing, watching at her dangling, hanging, dead body. She gets thrown down into the mausoleum. Quasimodo gets all crazy, throws Frollo off the top of the tower, kills him, and then goes down into the mausoleum and wraps himself around Esmeralda's corpse, where hundreds of years later they find both bodies still entwined, or at least their skeletons are. So that's pretty much how the tale of Hunchback ends. Terrible.
How sweet.
Yeah. Pretty, pretty terrible. Oh, and I left out the rape part, but that's okay because we're going to have plenty of that with our number one choice tonight, and that one is Pocahontas. So we've all seen the Disney version of the movie, and it's a happy tale. It's the one that they kind of more or less teach you in school a little bit, but it is 100% fictitious because not only was she actually 10 years old and could in no way be as voluptuous as the Disney animators portrayed her, but... Well, the entire story with John Smith about how she tried to, how she rescued him from death by throwing herself in front of the executioner's axe, totally untrue. The Indian tribe that he was with was actually quite nice and fed him. You know, they were great hosts. They were not the murderous savages that that he went back and ended up telling to all his buddies in England years later. So anyway, when Pocahontas was 17, she was captured by the English and held for ransom. Her husband was killed, and then Pocahontas was raped repeatedly and consequently impregnated, where she was then forcefully converted to Christianity, baptized under the name Rebecca, and married off to an English tobacco farmer to make the pregnancy appear legitimate. And then that's when they did the traveling around, taking her around and showing her off as this is the tamed savage. And then... couple years later, Pocahontas started to vomit suddenly and violently after dinner. One thing leads to another, and she was killed.
Wow.
The end.
The end. She was only 22 when she died.
That's a shame.
That's like 100 in like Indian years, though, right?
Wow. Yeah. Well,
wait,
you know,
is the implication that she was poisoned?
You know, it doesn't really say. Unsure of the cause of death, it says here.
Broken heart.
Could have been pneumonia, tuberculosis, or even smallpox. So, I'm not going to make a joke.
Justin's got it.
I'm not going to make a joke about the tainted blankets or anything. But I think we all know where that ended up.
Yeah. Wow. Uplifting and positive list there, Randy. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yes.
Well, and also of all of the stuff, like, Pocahontas is actually a real person.
Yeah, it's based on a real story.
So for her life to be just completely fictionalized like that is kind of disturbing.
But when you think about anybody who's had a movie made about them...
there's
a whole lot of fiction in there. And this one's just unfortunate because they got pretty much every fact incorrect. So, you know, at that point, it's Pocahontas in name only.
Pina.
Exactly. Pino.
I like it. No, I guess. True. Well, fun list, Randy. I think we all learned a little something about ourselves by your thing. You guys want to play a fun game?
Yeah. I would love to.
All right, it's a little bit different than what we're used to. This one is going to be an open-ended question of which there are numerous answers, and we're going to take turns, and you keep going until you can't answer, and the last one standing wins that round. Sound like fun?
Woo!
Let's do it.
So I'm going to give you a category, and so we're going to go Amanda, Justin, Randy, and we're going to keep going. So Amanda's going to answer, then Justin's going to answer, then Randy's going to answer, and we're just going to keep going until someone can't answer, and then they're out, and then it's up to the other two. All right, you guys ready?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, so the first round is going to be Mike Tyson's Punch-Out characters. So Amanda, cool. You go first. Name your character.
I never played that.
What? One of them's in the title.
Mike Tyson?
All right, Justin.
Glass Joe.
Randy.
Piston Honda.
Amanda.
I have nothing. I never played that game.
Justin.
Soda Popinski.
Randy.
Bald Bull.
Justin.
Don Flamingo.
Randy.
King Hippo.
Justin.
Sandman.
Randy.
I can't use Mr. Dream, can I?
Nope. Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Oh, dang. Do I win?
Yeah, Randy. Justin got a point. All right. Yeah. Next one. Amanda, you ready?
Okay.
Star Trek Aliens. Amanda.
Andorians.
Justin.
Klingons.
Randy.
Ferengi.
Amanda.
Romulan.
Justin.
I don't know.
Randy.
Vulcans.
Amanda. Quickly.
Oh my god. I'm panicking. Founders.
Randy, name me one more and you win.
Damn it.
Nausicaan.
All right. Randy gets a point. Good job. Taylor made that one for Amanda.
I was thinking of the Pacalot.
All right. Here we go. Next category. Batman villains. Amanda, ooh. Go.
Joker.
Justin.
Riddler.
Randy.
Penguin.
Amanda.
Scarecrow.
Justin.
Mr. Freeze.
Randy.
Ra's al Ghul.
Amanda.
Poison Ivy.
Justin.
Talia al Ghul.
Ooh, Randy.
Bane.
Amanda.
Harley Quinn.
Justin.
Clayface.
Randy.
Somebody already mentioned Two-Face?
Yep, Amanda.
Sweet.
Bane.
Yep, or Justin, Randy already said it.
Damn it.
Justin.
Hush.
Randy.
Give me a second.
2 seconds. Another point for Justin.
Oh, goddamn.
Good job. You guys went good on that one.
All I had left was Killer Croc and Mad Hatter. I was done after that.
I was waiting for Killer Croc. All right, next category. I don't know him. All right, Amanda, you go first. Legend of Zelda titles. Amanda.
Ocarina of Time.
Justin.
Wind Waker.
Randy.
Majora's Mask.
Nice. Amanda. Justin.
What was the first one?
Link's Awakening.
Randy.
A Link to the Past.
Justin.
Oh. Minish Cap.
Randy.
Twilight Princess.
Justin.
Phantom Hourglass.
Randy.
Like three swords?
No, it's four swords. Close. Another point for Justin. Good job, guys. All right, three more categories.
I didn't know any more either. So.
Yeah, I was tapped.
All right, Amanda, you ready?
Okay.
Family Guy characters.
Aw, damn it.
Go.
Brian.
Justin.
Cleveland.
Randy.
Stewie.
Amanda.
Meg.
Justin.
The wife.
Randy.
Peter.
Amanda.
Judy?
Sure.
Randy.
Lois.
Amanda.
Oh, actually, I thought I was saying Lois.
Yeah, I didn't know her name either. I totally
isn't Judy
that's
Joseph?
All I got.
All right, point to Randy. Good job. So Justin's got two. Justin's got three. Randy's got
two. Family Guy. I can't believe I even got as far as I did.
All right.
I love that show. I just totally drew a blank.
All right. This next one is going to be Star Wars spaceships. Now, in this one, you can either name the name of the ship, like Millennium Falcon, or the type of ship, which is TIE Fighter. Both answers are still up for grab. All right. Amanda, go.
Wait, ships?
Ships, like the two I just named, you could say.
Millennium Falcon.
Justin.
Y-Wing?
Randy.
A-Wing.
Amanda.
X-Wing.
Justin.
B-Wing.
Randy.
TIE Interceptor.
Amanda.
Death Star.
Justin.
Oh, that's a good one. Armageddon. Slave One.
Randy.
TIE Advanced.
Amanda.
Did we already say TIE Fighter?
Nope. Justin.
TIE Fighter.
How about... like a Corellian cruiser?
Randy.
Blockade Runner.
Amanda.
Untapped out.
Justin.
What a nerd. I don't know anymore. Who
knows? You got one more, Randy?
Star Destroyer.
All right. Tied up. Justin 3, Randy.
I could go all day with those, with that topic.
The final category. 3-3. Justin, Randy. Here we go. X-Men villains. Amanda, ooh. Go. Villains.
Magneto.
Justin.
Juggernaut.
Randy.
Pyro.
Amanda.
Sabretooth.
Justin.
Mystique.
Randy.
I don't
know. Oh, Amanda.
Angel?
Nope.
What's that guy's name?
Justin, you got one more, you win.
Yeah, Pyro?
Randy said
Pyro.
What guy with the angel wings?
he was Archangel.
Archangel.
Yeah, I didn't hear him say Pyro. Good job, Randy. So what happens now?
I don't know. You guys are tied still.
Oh. Well, how about me and Randy just keep going?
All right. You mean the same category? You want to do one?
Whatever. Just pick a new one.
I'll give you one. All right. Name me members of the Avengers. Justin goes first.
Capitan America.
Randy.
Iron Man.
Justin.
Let's go with Hulk.
Randy.
Thor.
Justin.
Black Widow.
Randy.
Hawkeye.
Justin.
Armageddon. The other one. Captain Marvel.
Randy.
Ant-Man?
Yeah, Justin.
Wolverine is the new Avenger.
Yep, it is Randy. Come on, Randy, 2 seconds.
Will Nick Fury count?
He will, Justin.
Spider-Woman.
Randy.
Rocket Raccoon?
No. Justin wins. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Hope you guys had fun.
I did. That was amazing. I had a really good time. Thank you very much.
Got my heart racing. God damn.
Thought I would mix it up. I can't
believe we lost the Star Trek one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was tough. I knew, like, I think the Pakalids was the last alien race I could think of. I
forgot the Jorans and Cardassians.
Yeah.
That's hard. Yeah, no, that was my game. I hope you guys had fun. I tried to think of a way to involve everyone and keep it fast-paced and swift and fun. So
I think you did good. I like that format. We'll definitely have to do some more games in that format, too, just to spice it up.
I like it. That's cool. Does anyone have anything else they want to add to the show? Anything? Any shout-outs, anything?
Don't forget to check out our Kickstarter, Nonstop to Comic-Con, plastered right on the very top of the Geek Legacy website.
Can't miss it. Anybody else? Any other fun shout-outs to people you met this weekend or had fun with?
Nope.
Cool. Well, that's it for us, guys. I hope you had fun listening to us. Please remember to rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you hear us. Please rate us. Make sure you listen to other podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network. You know, we have a Pixelated podcast with our very own Justin Covender and Stephen James. Where they talk about everything video game news, so make sure you listen to them. We have the Comic Corner with Tyler and Jeff, where they talk about comics on their pull list, and it's a real great introductory to people who like comics. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, email us at info@geeklegacy.com. Later.